This morning, you're going to hear something a little different for our message time. You're going to get to hear from five people at Legacy and how God has been working in their lives and redeeming events in their stories. So this morning, friends, as we hear these stories, what story are you living today? Are you following Jesus, the one who tells us that the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy, but my purpose is to give them and to give us a rich and satisfying life? Is Jesus your story today, or is it something else? Here is a part of Tanis' story and her journey to redemption. Watch this.
Life was hard before Jesus was in my life. Being raised by a single dad, being molested as a child, going through high school, resorting to alcohol. That led into sex with people who had no meaning to it. Later on into college, it turned into other drug use, and it just kept spiraling down from there. I was at a festival, and a lady, she told me things that nobody would know. Only God would know these things about me. She told me about holding on to somebody's heart that wasn't mine, that was deteriorating myself. And as soon as I let that go, things started to change. I went back and seen her, and she told me that I needed to start talking to Jesus. And once I start talking to God and Jesus, he just kind of showed me the way. I seen things changing within myself. That brought me to church. That brought me to reading the Bible with my son. And as I was reading it, it was like God was speaking to me through all of it. It just made sense. So another thing that brought me to Jesus, I had been reconnected with my mom, who wasn't a part of my life until about 3 months ago. And going through all this hardship, she told me that in this lifetime that all I need was Jesus' love. And about a week later is when Jesus came into my dreams, and it was just the presence of, that's right, that's all I need is his love. And as the feelings were coming out, my son had his hand placed on my chest too at that time. That was probably one of the most powerful dreams I've ever had. And having to deal with my mother's passing, only getting to know her 3 months, and then having to say goodbye 3 months later was hard, but I know that she completed her purpose here to bring me to God and to Jesus. So much easier. It's been more joyous, more peaceful. I just get to see more love out in the world instead of all the hate and negativity. And I think that's what God wants us to see in people, instead of seeing the hate and anger in everybody. Maybe take a step back and look at a different perspective and maybe try and figure out why they're so angry. It's not because of you, there's something else deep down inside of them that causes those feelings to come out.
Let's thank Tanis for sharing her story this morning. It's interesting to me that Tanis goes to a festival that's not particularly a Christian festival or not, and this somebody there decides to tell her that, you know what, the way to true life, to rich, satisfying, and abundant life, it's through Jesus Christ. Friends, God can find us anywhere. Redemption can begin anywhere if we are paying attention. Jesus reminds us in John that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. Let's see how Colette finds her way to Jesus. Watch this.
Hi. around probably my teen years, at first it was pretty good. I think I slowly stepped away from a relationship with God, stopped saying my bedtime prayers, but that seemed like something that, you know, little kids did, and didn't think that I needed to go to church to be a good person. Thought I could be altruistic and peacemaking and kind without God, or at least the God that I now know. And then after high school, I took the saying, it's all good, way too literally. And, you know, I was happy, I was joyful, and I was working at a coffee shop, going to college, using some recreational drugs, just, you know, kind of fly by the seat of my pants and happy-go-lucky. And then things started to get hard. I've usually been a smiling person, and I remember one time really trying hard to smile, and it was difficult, and it wasn't authentic anymore, and I knew something was wrong and that it was not all good. I was trying to make things work of my own power. I guess I'll say I thought I knew who God was, but I didn't know his name. I was having a very difficult time with a partner that was a drug addict that couldn't just quit. Money was disappearing. We didn't have money for milk for the baby. That day is sort of a blur, but his sister called her pastor, and he agreed to have the pastor come over because I was ready to leave. And he came over and talked to us and challenged us both, actually, to read a chapter of Proverbs and a chapter of John every day for a month. And it was during those 30 days I did that, and Jesus showed up for real, not just spiritually, though, you know, there was that kind of weight off my shoulders too, but even physically, with physical provision. And so I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I think that's different for each person, how he speaks to them. For me, it was a daycare bill. I had no money to pay. And I came home one day, and there was an envelope in the mail from a friend of my father's. My dad had died 10 years before. There was an estate. But he had sent me a check for $153 and a tiny little note that said, some things from the estate just settled, and I thought you could use this. 10 years later, enough to cover that daycare bill plus a couple bucks. And I knew it was God. I just knew that he would take care of me, and I was all in from that point on. So my smile's back, and that's not all the time, of course. I'm a normal person. But there's the deep joy of knowing that when it's all said and done, no matter how hard things get, God is working things out. He has already paid the price for a new heaven and earth and eternal life that's wonderful. It may not be delivered yet, but it's coming, and I can count on that. And when I do run into difficulties, which I've had plenty even since then, where I felt like I was stuck between a rock and a hard place, not only do I know that God will work things out, but I know that I can seek him through the word and through prayer, and to listen and watch for him to answer. And he has been faithful to guide me through some very difficult decisions. And continue to provide. So all in all, life has been more purposeful and more joyful.
Let's thank Colette for sharing her story this morning. So remember, God's redemption in our lives, it can come through a physical blessing. In Colette's case, it meant meeting a daycare bill that she had no other way to provide and to be met. There are times that when we're following Jesus, it is not easy. but it is ultimately the most satisfying and purposeful and joyful story to live. Let's hear how Patty came to follow Jesus. Watch this.
Well, I was born in 1951, so I'm one of those baby boomers. I was raised by a mother who was 33 when I was born and a dad who was 31. And they had come through the Depression, and my early childhood was a dream, heaven on earth. As more and more kids were added, we ended up with 7 kids in 10 years. There was a, probably by the time Rita was born, number 4, things were already moving in a downhill slide for my dad. He had always had the alcoholic tendencies, but after my twin brothers were born and then very short time later my last sister was born, there were 3 in diapers, and he was overwhelmed and he was drinking heavily. And I went from being his little sweetheart to being, why are you doing that? And what's wrong with you? And how come you can't be like your sister? And you kids are gonna be the death of me, and you kids cause all my problems. So life was not easy. And things went along, my dad got worse and worse and worse with his drinking. And by the time I was out of high school, I graduated 24th of May, and by the 3rd of June, I was in college. I could not wait to escape, and I had no intention of really returning home because it was so unbearable there. You were walking in eggshells all the time. So even though I never lost my connection to God, and I really wanted to have that connection with the church, I kept going to church, I kept asking why, I kept wondering what was going to happen. And I was looking for answers. By the time I got to college, I still tried to go to church, but the answers weren't coming, and I was falling. I was falling. I was falling. So I'm waiting all day for my brother, who at that point was 20 years old, to arrive. He was in college. He was a junior in college. And he arrived and he sat down and I said, well, what in the heck is going on? He said, well, you know, I've had this cough and my girlfriend, Leanne, is a nurse and she kept telling me to go to the doctor, and I finally went to the doctor. And he said, and he was just so matter of fact, he was leaning like this and he goes, you know, they found a tumor, it's about the size of your fist and it's grown around my lung and my heart. So we're going to go to Mayo and have a biopsy. Finally, after 3 days, we called Mayo and said, what is going on? And we got a call of intensive care, and they said, we were doing the biopsy and his lungs collapsed on the operating table, and they found a tumor the size of a football. So in those 10 days from the time he'd been to the doctor to the time he went to Mayo, this tumor gone to the size of a football. That's what changed. Life is short. Life is very short. And it was only when in 1978 I asked my parents for a Bible for Christmas. And I started reading that. And by then, my dad had had a heart attack, he'd had stroke, he's had diabetes, he had to quit smoking, Mr. Krabby, but he was turning his life around. And what I discovered with my brother's death is I couldn't understand why he had died. I know now that he died to bring our family back together because none of us wanted to be in that household. And after that, all of us wanted to be in that household. After following Jesus, the thing I've learned over all these years is when my twin boys were born, they were so sick. I was told Greg was going to die the next day. There's several times he's been on his deathbed. Same with Justin, very sick kids, very lots of surgeries, lots of hospital stays. And I just learned that if I quit trying to be the pilot or the bombardier or the co-pilot, that God takes care of the map and the direction getting you there. And you have to put things in God's hands.
Let's thank Patty for sharing her story. Remember, our God is not the author of evil. James reminds us that God is impervious to evil and puts evil in no one's way. That when tragedy happens to us, Jesus weeps with us. God can bring good and wholeness and healing out of tragedy, but just because God can bring wholeness and healing out of it, don't think that God caused it to happen. God does not cause everything, but friends, God can redeem anything. And now our last story this morning. Let's hear how God's been working in John and Nicole's life. Watch this.
So we grew up going to church. Went to church from about 1988 to 94. Mm-hmm. And 94, when I was about 14, 15 years old, my parents had a divorce and kind of turned my back on God. So after the divorce, I had kind of spiraled out, got together with a group of friends who liked to party excessively. Did that till about 21 years old. And at that time I had made a decision to try to escape and moved to Denver, Colorado.
So after I had Caden, I knew that I wanted to raise my kids in the church, but it was difficult with the hours that he worked. And as we grew our family and it was more two and then three kids to shuffle off to church, I didn't get there as often as I would have liked. So through the years of all the hours that John was away, I started to pray to God and make a deal with God that if he could provide us with John with an opportunity with a new job, we would come back to church and we would raise our family in a church.
One day I was at working, sweeping the floors, and an old acquaintance had walked into the restaurant, and something just pulled me to him like I had never felt before. And I went home that night and talked to Nicole. I was like, this is so weird. Like, a couple days later, he had reached out to me in a text message saying, hey, you know, I have this opportunity. We've started this new position, and I'd like for you to come in and talk about it, see if it might be an opportunity you guys would be, you would like to partake in. So
we were nervous at first because it was something that was totally out of the norm that he had never done before, but we were ready to take the leap of faith and trust God that was the direction we needed to go. So John got his new job and had the weekends off, so we started coming back to church so that I could fulfill my deal that I made with God. So we went to church, and after our first day, we knew that we were where we needed to be.
And I started going to Wednesday night classes, and with Sunday service, it was just both felt as a great atmosphere and place to be.
Yeah. So John got his new job, and I thought, okay, so my prayers have been answered. I thought that was the end of our story, but it was only just the beginning.
Through the restaurant industry, with all the long hours and the stressful environment, I started medicating with opioids.
So December 23rd, John told me about his addiction. I had no idea about any of it, so I was blindsided. At first, you know, my initial reaction to everything was I felt that the last few months that we were going to church, you know, and he was participating in Bible studies, I felt like it was just all an act for him. And now I know that I look back and I know that it was Yeah, it was in the midst of his addiction, but God was pulling us back in to prepare us for a battle that we were gonna fight.
So, I was falling into depression, and I felt like it was getting hard for me to get out of that. And it was a day, I think the turning point was when I had reached out to Jesus and asked him back into my heart, and I just needed help. I asked Jesus to help me. That was kind of the turning point in the whole battling of my addiction.
I think that now that I've worked through all the anger and the bitterness and the resentment, now I can look back and see where God intervened and placed all the right people at the right time in our lives to help us get through that. So since we've started coming to Legacy, we've gotten involved with groups and Bible studies and Wednesday nights and teaching in Legacy Kids and junior high, and it's just really helped keep us accountable and intentional in our faith and just helped us grow in our faith. And if there's anything looking back that I want to take away and share with others, especially with my children, is that life is a lot better and a lot easier if you open your heart and you walk it with Christ. He'll provide the tools for you to get through those difficult times and rejoice with you during the good.
I remember Kermit saying, you know, this is the third space. Everyone has, you know, your work and your home, and you have a third space. And I've felt that this church has been a great third space for us to be a part of. And just like Nicole had said, you know, the people that were put into our lives these last 2 years, it's been amazing. So my takeaway that I'd like to share is, if you run into problems and you need help with anything, you just need to ask. It reminds me of a Bible verse, Matthew 7:8, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you.
John just celebrated 2 years of being clean. How awesome is that? Thank you guys for sharing your story. Our God is a God of redemption, willing to make something beautiful out of the pile of regrets and mess that we have. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. May you live the story of Jesus, the only way to a true, satisfying, and purposeful life now, today, and in the life to come. May it be so. Amen. The worship team is going to come now as we get ready to celebrate some baptisms together.